Thank you for listening to this sermon recorded at the Lost River Church of Christ. For more information, check out our website at lostriverchurch.org or call us at 270-843-3163. We consider it an honor to share the good news of Jesus Christ with you completely free of charge. Have a great day and enjoy the sermon. Good morning. It's wonderful to see everyone today. It is indeed a beautiful, beautiful day. The weather does seem to be changing, and I'm, for one, glad to see it. It's good that we can be together today. I want to ask you to consider with me as we begin our study from Proverbs chapter 28, verse 26, where he says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." Again, Proverbs 28, 26, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." I want to ask you how you feel about that affirmation, especially in view of the fact that it runs 180 degrees counter to one of the most popular mantras of our day and time, which is that you should always trust your own heart. You should always follow your own heart. We're told that over and over again in so many different ways that it's become a conventional wisdom. And to call it into question is to call into question the fundamental creed of being an American. Of course, you follow your heart. But the Scripture says, "He who trusts in his own heart is a fool." Perhaps one of the ways we can try to reconcile this difference is to say, well, maybe somebody means something a little bit different than what the proverb is referring to when it says trust in your own heart. You know, if you mean live with passion, and some people I think perhaps have that idea in mind when they say follow your heart, then that's good. It's better to live with passion than to just go through life blasé. If it means don't conform yourself to whatever societal expectations are for you, or whatever people think you ought to do or be. Don't just blindly follow along with what you're told to do or follow the crowd, but rather follow your own heart. I'll just pause for a second. We had a little mishap with the baptistry earlier in the week, as those of you who are here Wednesday night know, and everything had to be pulled out, and then we've tried to reassemble it, but not with 100% success as of yet. Sorry, folks, no picture show today. We'll just have to do it the old-fashioned way. So if people are just suggesting that, don't follow the crowd, don't just conform to everybody's expectations, well, I think that can be good advice, though we ought to listen to what other people's advice is. We don't necessarily want to just conform ourselves to what everybody else is doing. So we don't mean that when we are critical of, or when the Bible is critical of, those following their own hearts. I read an article in this line earlier in the week that made this point about the expression, follow your own heart, and what is commonly culturally associated with that expression. He said, essentially, it is a belief that your heart is a compass, and it will guide you or direct you to your own true north. That there really is no way that you ought to go, and so your heart just sort of guides you in the way that you self-realize. There's no set idea of what you should be, so you just blaze your own path regardless of any outside direction or source. Your heart is a compass, and it points you in the way you should go. And so we're told in that line to always trust your heart. It knows the way. Just follow it. I think that's what the Bible's talking about as something that's very foolish. Secondly, he said it means that your heart is a reliable guide that will lead you through life. A similar idea, but with a little bit of a different emphasis. In summary, it means you're lost. you know, that maybe the whole society and culture is lost, but your heart is a compass. Your heart is a guide, and it will lead you safely through the fog and bring you to your destiny if only you have the courage to follow your innermost being, to follow your heart. Well, let's examine what each of these ideas assume or imply. First of all, it implies that the heart is a compass and that it can guide us to our own true north. But if our hearts are a compass, and this is where I wish I do have the PowerPoint, it is a Jack Sparrow compass, okay? Those of you who are familiar with the motion picture series of the Pirates of the Caribbean know that the main character has a compass in which it points not to north, but it points to that which he most desires. Whatever it might be that he desires most, his compass will point him in that direction. Now, a lot of us might find something like that useful, or at least we think we would, but that's what the compass of the heart really is. It doesn't tell us what we ought to desire. It doesn't tell us what we should want. It just tells us what we do want, whether right and wrong. It just tells us this is what you want. That's the kind of compass that the heart actually is. It is a Jack Sparrow compass. Secondly, it's a compass that will very frequently lead us far, far away from where we ought to be. When I was younger and more foolish, perhaps, and living on the Gulf Coast in Texas, I made the purchase of a used-up old offshore fishing boat. I loved to fish, especially back then. I was eaten up with it, and found a boat that I could afford. I didn't realize exactly how much the maintenance would be on it, but the initial upfront price I could afford. So I bought this offshore fishing boat, and loved to go out into the Gulf of Mexico and fish. And one of the things that you have to have if you're going offshore is a compass, I suppose GPS nowadays, that was just coming in and really expensive back then. So the easier way to go was just have a compass in the helm of your boat, and you made sure that you marked what your heading was as you went out and how long you ran at what speed, so that you would be able then to calculate and find your way back. And you might think, well, that's really not that big a deal. We typically went about 25 miles offshore, but once you're 5 miles out and you look around, all you see is water everywhere you look. And it's really remarkable when you look around and you start thinking, which direction should I go? And we used to play this game with the guys we'd fish with after we'd been out for a while and say, okay, time to head back. Which way do you guys think we ought to go? Nobody look at the compass, just everybody think. And everybody just starts pointing in all kinds of directions. You might think to yourself, well, I would have enough of a sense, or I could use the sun or whatever. But it's remarkable how quickly you can become confused. But the compass knows the way. One time I went out in the winter, red snapper fishing with one other friend, and it was very foggy when we left. And we were confident that the fog would burn off by mid-morning and we would be fine, so we just went on out. Fortunately, we were very careful and took a heading, monitored our rate as we went out, and went to make a couple of different runs while we were out there. But the fog never really lifted. It did a little bit for a while, but then later, by the time we were ready to come in, it just got thicker than ever before. And it was pretty nerve-wracking because you could literally not see from here to the back of the building. And so we did our calculations, figured everything up, and took off and monitored the time and the compass. And when we were getting close to where we thought we'd be, we'd stop, shut off the engine, and listen for breakers hitting the jetty system. And sure enough, we came within about 100 yards and for close enough to begin to hear that sound, and then closely find our way till we could visually sight the jetty wall and go around and come safely into the bay. And that's because we had a compass. If we had been out there saying, well, you know, I have a pretty good sense of direction, I'd still be lost to this day in the Gulf. If you're just going along saying, you know, I think I know the direction, I think we ought to head over here, you're not going to get where you need. Something that has an objective north that can therefore be used to guide you in the direction that you know you must go. So be honest this morning. If your heart is your guide, if your heart is your compass, where is it telling you to go? Where has it told you to go over the course of the past week? Where would you be in life if you had always followed your heart? If you had always gone the direction that your feelings were telling you, this is where you should be going. And be careful not to just think about the times that it would have been right. You know, a broken watch, they say, is right 2 times a day. And you might be able to think back about the time that you should have followed your impulse and you didn't, and it would have worked out maybe better if you had. Yeah, you probably can cite certain specific events in the past where that might have been the case, but we tend to select only those things that would have worked out well. Really, honestly, just in the past few days, maybe even in the past few hours, if you'd done everything that your heart told you to do, how much trouble would you be in with your wife? It doesn't take very long to begin to think about the things that are going on and the things that you want to do and the impulses that you have and realize how off-guided and misguided they often are. What about the way your heart tells you to think about other people? People that you've disagreed with. You know, I disagree with people, and sometimes my heart says, well, they're just not very smart. Or, if I'm less charitable than that, they're not well informed, or maybe they're evil. Maybe they're immoral if they just don't see things the way that I should. They're evil. If people praise me, well, of course, they're extremely intelligent, well informed, and good folks. How many times this past week was your schedule interrupted and you really, really were upset by that because your heart was telling you that the whole universe ought to be running on your timetable? Everything ought to be going your way. The person driving in front of you ought to be going the speed that you want them to go, not 10 miles an hour slower. And the guy who's on your bumper just needs to back off. That the lights in Bollinger, who is the engineer running these things around here? Don't these people know that I need to be somewhere? Why is it raining today when I had this that I wanted to do? All of these things come along and tell us that our heart thinks that everything in the world ought to run according to our desires and my wants. And yet how absolutely ruined the world would be if all of us got exactly what our hearts desired every moment of every day. If I had followed my heart, and it's every time that the compass of my heart, if I followed everywhere the needle pointed, I would be an impossible jerk, a selfish pig, a relational mess. And some of you may be thinking, well, is that what you do? I have to tell my heart no every day. And we all do that. We may want to use the expression, you should just follow your heart, but the reality is we know, each of us, if we're honest, that if we just followed our hearts, we'd be in a terrible place and we'd be likely a very terrible person. The Scripture tells me that this is not to be unexpected. In Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, a very important passage, it says, "The heart is deceitful above all things." What's more deceitful than your heart? Nothing, okay? Nothing is more deceitful than your heart. It is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? One paraphrase I read of that this week said, "The heart is hopelessly dark and deceitful, a puzzle that no one can figure out." And the next verse says, "But I, God, search the heart. I get to the root of things. I see them as they really are, not as you pretend them to be." The heart is deceitful, it says. I think it's deceitful in that not only does it seek to deceive others, but more importantly, our hearts try to deceive us. It deceives me primarily regarding my motives. Everything I do, my heart seems to find a rationale for, justification for. In fact, our hearts can justify just about anything. The things that we say, feel, or think about other people, the actions that we perform, what we want to do, we can find a reason that though there may be another aspect of our heart or our conscience telling us, no, that's not right, but yeah, I really, really want it, so our heart can deceive us into thinking it'd be okay. It's slippery. It calculates. It's also, it says, sick. It's infected with the influence of sin. Our hearts have somehow been, the fabric of our hearts have somehow been ripped away from God, our Creator, and have sought to chart their own course. And this is the foundation for the illness that resides within. And so Jeremiah asks, who can understand it? Jeremiah is acknowledging, I can't really get, my heart's too slippery for me to get hold of it. That's kind of a gross image, isn't it? You know, I can't figure it out. And I think that honestly, one of the greatest signs that you are maturing spiritually, that you are your sanctification is growing, that you're becoming more and more conformed to the will of God, is that you become more and more aware of how far you have to go, how perverse your heart can be, and you stop trying to believe it and to follow its justifications. Your heart does become more and more redeemed. It does grow in righteousness. I believe our desires can be fashioned and changed, and gradually over time and ultimately in eternity they can be fully healed. But if you think you figured your heart out, it doesn't trick you. You know exactly what's going on, and most of what you desire to do is good and right, then you are perhaps most of all deceived. Here's how Jesus puts it in Matthew 15:19. He is the great physician, and he knows the symptoms of our heart's disease. And he says this way, out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murder, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. These things come out of our desires. This is what I want. This is my compass is telling me I ought to say this about this person, and I'm justified in doing so. I can hurt this person. I can say these things. I can do these things. I can go back on my commitments. I can go back on my word because I have reasons for doing this. And Jesus says, yeah, that's exactly right. That's what the heart does. Deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it? Only Jesus can understand it. In Joshua 22 and verse 5, we're told to be very careful to keep the commandments of the Lord, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in His ways and obey His commandments, to hold fast to Him and to serve Him with all your heart. And this ought to be our earnest and steadfast prayer and desires, that God would unite our hearts to fear His name, to follow after Him, that our hearts would be cured of their sin and sinfulness. But in the meantime, what we have to do is persevere in walking in the commandments that God has given us. So here's the point. Our heart is not given to us by God to be our compass. The Scripture is given to God to be our compass. It points true north. It shows us the direction that we ought to go. And our hearts are to conform to what the Scriptures teach us is right. And we're to follow the Scriptures, conforming our hearts to that, learning, training our hearts, disciplining our hearts to conform to what God is telling us our hearts ought to be in His Word. You see, God doesn't lie to us. The Scriptures don't deceive us. And though there are some very difficult things that we have to work through and grow through as we go through life and understanding and interpreting Scripture, in terms of the basic way to live your life, the Scripture isn't one of those things, who can figure it out? Your heart is. You keep following your heart, you'll find yourself so in such depths of moral dilemmas that you can't see any way clear, but the Scriptures don't lead you that way as you follow them, as they point you in the direction you should go in life. Secondly, following your heart implies that your heart is a reliable guide that will lead you to true happiness if you will listen to it. But no one has ever lied to us as much as our own heart. What kind of guide lies to those who are trying to follow it? Our hearts were never designed to be followed. Our hearts were designed to be led. Our hearts were never designed to be God's, to be trusted and looked to as a God, but rather it was designed to believe in God and to trust Him. Our hearts were not given to us to save us from the darkness, but we need to be saved from the darkness that is in our hearts. If we make our hearts guides and ask them to lead us, they will lead us to narcissistic misery and ultimately to damnation. And so I couldn't say to you that there's any worse advice than to just follow your heart, to let it be your compass, to let it be your guide. Follow the Scripture, and more importantly, more specifically perhaps, follow Jesus. Don't let your heart be your guide, let Jesus be your guide. In John chapter 14 and in verse 1, Jesus does not say to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled, just believe in them." It doesn't say, "Let not your hearts be troubled, just trust your heart. Just be confident in your heart. It knows the way. It'll lead you where you need to go." No, Jesus does not say that. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me also." Don't be troubled in heart. Put your heart's trust in Jesus. Put your heart's trust in God and follow Him. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your paths straight." So we are to trust in God, not in ourselves. To look to the path that He's pointed out for us, not to chart our own course by following whatever we feel like we want to do or is good for us to do. You know, one of the things that my heart will do, and I was thinking about this just last night. Our family plays a board game that I know a lot of you play called Settlers of Catan. And we were playing a version of that called Cities and Knights. And it's a pretty long game. And it's a game in which you trade with other people. And as the game progresses, particularly in Cities and Knights, you sort of start undercutting other people as well. And I'll tell you, it's next to the Bible, one of the greatest methods I've ever seen of revealing your heart to you, because you will get angry at people. Why did you cut me off? Why do this to me? Why not do it to... That's one of the common things. Why would you put the thief or the robber on me when this other person is the one you should be putting the robber on? There's injustice, and we grow very upset, and we become angry at other people over stupid things. How much more on the big things? But your heart will lead you to dwell on how you have been wronged by life, by other people. But Jesus will lead you to forgive people. Think about that. If you just do what your heart tells you, you will be bitter, you'll be angry at people. The people in your life, the people in your work, the people in your church, these people will frustrate you and anger you, and your heart will tell you, hold on to that. Jesus says, let it go. Jesus says, forgive others. If you listen to your heart, you'll be embittered. If you listen to Jesus, you'll be on the path to healing. Your heart will lead you to indulge in your sinful desires. Whatever particular lusts may be a stumbling block or temptation for you, your heart will find ways to justify that. It'd be okay. I can do this. No one's going to be hurt by this. Only once. These are the lies that our hearts tell us, and they tell us these things very, very effectively if we are listening to our hearts. And again, that leads us to destruction. Jesus will lead you to say no to sin. Because Jesus is at war with anything that destroys human flourishing, that destroys your heart, that destroys your soul. Jesus is at war with that which destroys you. And that's why He will lead you to say no to drinking the poison that your heart has a thirst and a craving for. Your heart will find ways again to justify anything, but Jesus will bring moral clarity to everything. The heart will make you feel like every decision is really tough and blurry, but Jesus helps you see clearly. No, I can distinguish. I can discern right from wrong, truth from error. Jesus leads us out of the fog. Our hearts and sin just lead us deeper into a denser mist. And lastly, your heart will tell you to hide your sin. Don't let anybody know. Keep it to yourself. Jesus will lead us to confess our sin, to confess it to Him, to confess it to the Father, to seek the forgiveness that He alone can offer. So I want to leave you this morning with this thought. Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Our hearts are not our shepherd. Our heart is not our guide. Our heart is not our compass. Jesus is our guide. Jesus is our shepherd. And here's the question. Should you trust Jesus or should you trust your own heart? That's ultimately what I'm asking you, the decision I'm asking all of us to make this morning. Especially those of you who aren't Christians. You've never made that formal commitment. I'm going to follow Jesus. Here's the thing I want you to consider. Why should you follow Jesus versus your own heart? Jesus says in John 10, I am the good shepherd who lays down His life for His sheep. Jesus lived His entire life in devotion and service to God and to the good and well-being of you, to serve you, to redeem you, to tell you the truth, to tell you the truth about yourself, to tell you the truth about yourself that nobody else will tell you. Jesus tells you these things so that you may see them and see yourself and see what needs to be corrected. But then Jesus doesn't just stand there pointing an accusing finger. Jesus ultimately, as we've read about and heard about at the Lord's Supper, gave His life, taking in His own person, in His own body, the sufferings and the chastisement that we deserve on account of the sins that we've committed. And Jesus says, I will take that in their behalf. He's the good shepherd who loves His people, who gives His life for His people, and who is infinitely wise because He is God and man. So are you going to trust someone who is wise and good? Truly wise, truly good, or a heart that is deceived and deceiving, who's willing to hurt, not suffer on behalf of others, and who has extremely limited perspective on what's truly good, what's truly beautiful, what's truly right? Your heart or Jesus? Why don't you say, I love my heart. And my heart needs to be saved, and it can't save itself, and it sure can't save me, but Jesus is the good shepherd. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to tell my heart, no longer are you in control. Jesus is now in control of my heart, and I'm following Him. If you're wanting to make that commitment this morning, then come forward and confess His name. Turn your life over to Him. This is repentance. And be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. And this is a formal union with Christ. And leave here with a new compass and a new shepherd. We encourage you to come while we stand and while we sing.